Good morning. Part of my Sunday morning most times is that I do my devotion, but I also have a new CD on that is in my stack that I've collected over the years, and I'm currently kind of weeding through them to see what really do I want to keep and what do I want to pass on to share. And the one that I was listening to this morning was that a couple, Tim and Debbie Mihalik, it was all songs pretty much that he had written, and so I wasn't familiar with the words and not able to follow along very well just by listening. So fortunately, he had printed out, as is often the case in CDs, the words to go along with it. And the one that I was on, where I finally said, I got to go get it, I just felt led to share the verse and the chorus, and then one verse from another song that he had written that also spoke to me this morning. So I want to share that as a prayer before I do the reading. The first song is called In Unity, and the second one is Lead On. Lord, we join in your name and receive our praises. We are here from all walks of life, so many places. We ask for your grace, your spirit in this place. Bind us together without rank or race, a blessing to be worshiping Jesus in unity. In unity, prayers multiplied. In unity, to never be divided. In unity, sisters and brothers side by side, to exalt our King, Lord Jesus. Lead on, bold in Jesus, lead on, into battle with God's holy armor on. Pray through all oppression, stand firm in your direction. Lead on to Jesus, lead on. Our first reading is taken from the Old Testament of 1 Kings 17. And these are spoken to Elijah. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to invite kids to come down. Good morning, good morning. Find a seat, squeeze together, get everybody on. Come on, there's room. There we go, one more. Get there. Good. Oh, it's so good to see you this morning. You know, I got dressed this morning. Whoop, make room. There's room for you. Sneak in there. Make room for the both of you. There you go. I got dressed this morning, and I decided every Sunday I wear the same shirt. And I got worried that maybe I need to put on a different shirt because maybe you'll think I only have one color of shirt, black. And so I decided to put on this shirt, which I like. And now I get to go to Hawaii. You get the right shirt, you get to go to Hawaii, somewhere along that. But I also was not just worried about what I was going to wear. I also thought sometimes the meals here, whoa, you know, those hot dogs and things like that. And sometimes I leave church hungry, which is a lie. But I brought my solution bag with me right here. I was worried about what I was going to eat, so I brought myself, where'd it go? A loaf of bread. There we go, a loaf of bread, and I brought some soup. That's good. Those are expensive nowadays, so soup. And, of course, the mainstay, peanut butter. And so I don't care what we have for lunch or if they're skipping it. That's what I got. But then I remembered sometimes I get thirsty, and all they ever give me is water. So, and then I want two bottles, and they only give me one. So I decided I was going to bring some soda, and I brought an iced tea because I like iced tea. That's a good one too. And now I think I can make it through to the afternoon at least. And just some fresh water here too, just in case. I took it before anybody else got here. So if we run out, I got my food, my drink, and my clothes. Did you hear that in the sermon? They were reading that? That people worry? Wait a minute. How many of you wonder or worry about sometimes what you're putting on? You know, those shoes don't go with that dress. And that shirt looks funny with those shorts. And those pants are the wrong color. And where did you... Do you ever hear people talk like that?
Yeah.
Mom, does this look... Okay. I always looked like I got dressed in the dark. Which meant you never know what you put on until the light goes on, right? Well, in our sermon today, there's two things happening. One of them is don't worry, because you worry about stuff and it messes your head up. And yet all of us worry. I hate this topic Because every time I preach on it, I start worrying about worrying too much. Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
I'm hearing someone go, don't worry. Okay, I won't worry, I won't worry. I'm worried about worrying now. And I feel really silly because that's what I do. And so one of the things that I want to see if we can do in the sermon is understand how God helps us with worrying. Because I knew when I put on a different shirt, someone was going to go, uh-oh, pastor's dressing weird today. But that's okay too, because I'm not going to worry about that. You see? So one of the things I want to teach everybody in the sermon is not to worry. But I want to teach them not to worry by putting my eyes someplace else. If I put my eyes on you, I'm going to wonder if you're going to pay attention or you're going to laugh at me because I'm wearing a funny shirt. If I look this way, I don't worry about what I'm wearing. If I look this way, I do. If I look this way, I don't. Because you know what God says to me? I don't care what you're wearing. I love you. And you're special. And I went to the cross and died for all your sins. Whether you're this big, that big, that big, this big, this wide, this wide, thing, and wearing a red shirt or a black shirt or any other color shirt. So one of the things I want to teach people to do in the sermon is don't look at people. Keep your eye on God. Can you remember that? Pretty easy. And next time you're all worried about how you look, ask the Lord if he's worried. You know, because you know he'll talk to me whether I have a black shirt on or a red shirt on, right? Good. Here we go. We got something for you guys. Can I hire you, Hank? Here you go. One big, two small.
Oh, my.
Go quick, though. Or I'd be worried because I'll take the bag away. You're all invited to peanut butter sandwiches after church. And I'm sure we can find some old hot dogs.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, honey. I wasn't joking. Every time I hear this sermon, I have to preach this sermon or come across this text. You're welcome, honey. Or hear this text or anything. I don't know if you do it, but I do. Because worrying feels like natural. All right? And then I pretend I'm really not worried. So then I feel like a hypocrite. So then I'm worried about being a hypocrite. And I'm worried that it's not naturally going away. And so then I worry with maybe I don't have enough faith. And then I worry about that's pretty silly to say because I'm trusting in God and God's holding on to me. So what am I worrying about? And I get this thing going and it spins around in a circle in my head. And pretty soon I just throw up my arms and go, I don't care. Everybody worries. I don't care anymore. And you go, we're capable of really interesting things. Because obviously, God's intent here is not, don't you worry, even though worry is a sin. You go, really? Yeah. Worry is a sin. It's serving the wrong master. It's serving your flesh. Your spirit doesn't worry. Your spirit trusts in God. Your flesh worries. And so when you're worried or worrying, you're not in the spirit. You're in the flesh. And so one of the things this whole section starts off with, and it points it out here, it says, no one can serve two masters. It can't be done. You're unable to do it. And so one of the difficulties, I can't worry and at the same time trust God. Can't do it. I trust you, Jesus, but I'm so worried about tomorrow. Those are contradictory thoughts. They're two separate masters. Either the one enslaves you, puts you under its control, brings you under its authority, the mercy, the grace, the power of God, the holiness of God, and trusting in God, or the world, the flesh, and all the stuff you're worried about controls you. And you begin to understand. And then I go, like I said, I get into this sequence of guilt and shame and embarrassment and foolishness. And I go, why in the world did Jesus even teach this subject? And why does he want us to be able to walk through life and not worry? Because worry hurts you. Because it is a recognition of trusting not in God, but in what I think is going to happen tomorrow or not going to happen. I remember reading once, they said, write down everything you're afraid of or you think is going to happen, and then see which ones come true. You know? And you begin to realize I can worry about a lot more stuff than I can ever remember. I was worried about yesterday a little bit. They were predicting the world was coming to some level of catastrophe or destruction or uprooting or something. And I'm going, I'll pretend I'm not worried, but here's another guy talking about it, and here's another thing on it. And I begin to go, how easy it is to find ourselves caught up in some of the very things we're not supposed to be doing, which is worrying, all right? But the topic isn't really just about worrying. It's as simple as, where are your eyes? If I put my eyes on you, I can watch your eyes roll, because I had a lot uglier shirts to put on and a lot messier shirts and dirtier shirts and older shirts and everything else like that. And then your eyes would have rolled. And you would have said, the guy's lost it again, okay? Or whatever would go through your mind. And your faces would impact on me. But when I turn and face the Lord, I don't think about what I'm wearing. I don't think about whether I'm going to have lunch today. I don't think about what I'm going to have later to drink or have enough water or anything else like that. It isn't that all of that concern just simply goes away. It changes from fretting about it into anticipating, what can I do? There's an example in this section about, look at the birds of the air. They don't gather, they don't plant, they don't sow, and they don't put the stuff up in the barns. But they work. Have you ever seen a bird walking around on the ground just sitting there? Oh, I think I'm just going to lay here, you know? You're always looking for something to eat, for something to do. They're watching all the time. So I learned something different about this. I said, look at the birds. They don't worry, but they work. Well, if I'm concerned about having enough food for tomorrow, do the things that should be done today. Can you can something? Can you save something? Can you do something different today that you didn't do yesterday? Remember, when my eyes are here, I'm not worried, but I'm doing the things that the Spirit of the Lord tells me to do. I'm operating with a different set of eyes. I'm operating with a different set of emotions. And I'm operating in a way that God is calling me to. And so when you get done with this section and you start to look at that unbelievable list of significant things, you begin to understand there's some other lessons besides worry. For example, what's more important, your life or your soul, or what you eat, drink, and wear? You may look really good today. You may have a full belly and look forward to a full lunch, and everything else you need to drink to be satisfied, you'll have today, but you can be going straight to hell. That's because your life, your soul, your presence, who you are as a human being, is far more important than those things. And you begin to understand, your body doesn't just operate on food and drink and something to wear. It operates on a whole different level. Some of you can worry so much you get a gut ache. Some of you can worry so much you get a headache. Some of you can worry so much you get short-tempered, mean-spirited, have an attitude toward people, life, and circumstances. And you begin to go, that's because your life is a whole lot more, your body is a whole lot more than just those single things that we normally associate with living, food and drink. And you can even add, which comes up a little later, mammon of the world, stuff, money. And you begin to understand, when it begins to control my life, I am in serious, serious trouble. Because, hey, have you looked at your retirement funds lately? It's scary out there. And the news is they're coming after more. How are they going to pay for these trillions of dollars of free things they keep giving away unless they take the money from you? Are you worried yet? Doesn't it just take a little conversation over you? Oh, yeah, I'm a little worried, but I'm going to pretend I'm not. And God's not interested in us pretending about this. You can't pretend you're not worrying. It's like faking. Life is good. And only your pension plans are dropping. And money is not devaluing. And you get 90 cents on the dollar now, or 88 cents, I think it is. So it takes, you understand? So you begin to look at what God's really trying to communicate here. And you begin to understand you can't change anything. Here's the text. Can you add anything to your height? Who said that 5 feet is short and that 6 feet is tall or 6'5" is too tall? Who said? You know, God in his mercy said short people will never make it to heaven. And tall people will. Because they're so much closer to God than short people. Yeah, we have these strange peculiarities. And some are triggered by culture. Some are triggered by the kids we go to school with. Some are triggered by our own family's quirkiness. And we all have them. Okay? And, you know, don't do that with your lips or your face. It'll grow that way. Your mom ever tell you that one? You know, pull your cheeks out. Different things like that. And you go, don't do that to your face. You'll grow that way and you'll look that way forever. And then you all get panic stricken. Okay? And I go, at one time you kind of believe and get caught up in that stuff. So what's the text trying to shout at you? You can't change it. Go ahead, worry about the end of the world tomorrow. Boy, what'd you do? I went home and had pizza for lunch. What'd you do? You know, I just went home and I cried and I fretted all day. And I go, the world is going to do what it's going to do. And you begin to understand. Now, there's things I can do today if I know something is happening tomorrow. One of the families have relatives down in Florida, and they said the hurricane might be coming their way. So what would I do? Well, I may cover my windows. I may get some additional food and water to make sure I might be able to deal with a day, a week, or several weeks of no power in my house. Why would I do that? Because that's smart. That's intelligent. Prepare, be prepared, and do what you have to do. And that's one thing. But to fret and worry about it isn't going to stop the direction of the hurricane. It isn't going to make it go in a nicer place. It isn't going to make it nicer or not nicer. That's all in the hands of God. And the warning of this, Jesus goes, it's not in your hands. I want all of you kids to turn to your dad or mom and ask them how they're going to pay for the electric bill this month. Tell them you're worried about it. I'm really worried about the electric bill, Dad. Oh, that's good, honey. You think you can do anything about it, like not eat for the next week? You know. I go, that's your dad's worry. And your mom's worry. Not yours. You understand? So much of what we worry about, it's like a little kid fretting over the gas bill, electric bill, or something else that they have no control, no ability to impact other than maybe turning the water off a little bit sooner or turning the lights back off, kids, if you're paying attention. But you begin to understand those are outside of your realm. They're not meant for you. They are being taken care of. And God looks at you and says, I am your father. Why are you worrying about something that's under my jurisdiction, under my accountability and responsibility? And you begin to recognize it'd be the same way a loving father might look at a child and says, honey, we'll find a way to take care of it. I'm working on it right now. It might mean I have to put an extra hour in at work or two or five, but we'll get it done. Don't worry about it. You just go ahead and deal with school. You take care of the things you're dealing with. and I'll take care of the things I have to deal with. And you begin, a loving father or mother would say that to a child to dispel the worry. I can get so, Mom, I'm 4 years old. What if no one ever wants to marry me? You got a little ways to go, honey. Don't worry about it too much, you know. And obviously worrying about it makes you even more appealing. You know, I'm so hungry. I got to have a man. You know, suddenly you hit 25 or 30 or something, and you go, got it, you know, right? Something like that. And you go, you've seen that. You've seen what worry does to people. You've heard about it. It chews us up. It makes us short-tempered. It does all kinds of destructive things. And the point that he's making, you can't add a moment of life. You can't add an inch to your height. You can't fret about it enough, you know, but you can do the right thing today. What did the Lord say? Be careful what you eat. Have one peanut butter sandwich, not five. That I can do. That's in the control of this moment. Today seems to be, like Scripture says here, sufficient and have enough concern and worry for the day. Eat the right stuff today. Behave the right way today. If you're supposed to call the doctor today. Do the things that you're supposed to be doing. Because then you'll be busy with the next thing and the next thing. And so you begin to understand that. So there's this little passage in this section that says, do you understand the grass looks more beautiful than you on your best day? Have you ever seen some flower gardens? I'm stunned sometimes by some of the flowers that are out there. Okay, you walk into somebody's garden or flower garden, you just go, holy cow, there's this big, beautiful flower with things dripping all over the place, and it is gorgeous, and the colors are multicolored. And you can't even, well, it's blue, green, yellow, it's all these different things. And you look at this thing in shape, it's just fascinating. How did God ever come up with this? And then you can go from there to there to there. And those are just the flowers that'll grow in Wisconsin. We haven't talked about the orchids you got to keep by the window and do different things as we go to the store and pick up an orchid, which doesn't grow in Wisconsin, at least on any trees. I've seen them growing. And you begin to recognize the point is ultimately, God goes, that you have to understand that the grass dies. Right? What's he saying to me? How much do you want to fret about what you're wearing? How much do you want to fret about it? Well, I don't want anybody to think that I'm not cool. Yeah, don't worry, Bruce. Not going to help. And you understand? And you know, when I was in college, I had to have bell bottoms. The big bell bottoms. Big bell bottoms. And then I wanted a pair of striped ones so I could wear it with my fluffy sleeve shirt. You know, the big puckery pirate sleeves. I was cool for a minute. Then the grass withered and the flower faded. And I look in the mirror and I go, where are my bell-bottom pants? And the flowery shirt won't help. But you begin to understand. Here's God trying to teach us so much more about life and purpose and meaning and living for the things that matter. Okay? I can get so upset. I have got nothing to wear. You know, that old stereotype of a guy or a girl looking in the closet and, Ma, I don't have anything to wear. And then you have to call your fairy godmother and she brings you the clothes and things like that. But you begin to recognize this whole process that is going on. And then it comes down in this text where it really settles it in. It goes, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And everything else will be added onto you. Look at the right thing. Look at it the right way. Develop yourself in the right kind of person that comes from seeking first the kingdom of God. And all the things that are necessary, whether they be food or drink or clothing or life or circumstances or height or depth, all of them are in the hand of God. And you begin to go, Lord, make me useful today. When I seek the kingdom today, there are people to talk to, things to do, things I can change, things I cannot change, things I can move toward or work toward. Remember, the birds don't sow or reap, but they don't sit around going, oh, Come on, God, drop some. That doesn't work that way. Unless you're a baby bird. And then you got to outgrow it. So the point ultimately is, God is trying to give us so much more than we realize. And his final point he brings here is, don't think about, don't worry about tomorrow. The truth is, you don't even know if you're going to make it. What's the standard line? Well, I'll be dead in 100 years. Ooh, that's a bit depressing. Yeah, but we'll all be dead in 100 years, so we won't care. You go, well, what if we lived 120? Well, good luck. Well, I'll be dead in 110 years then, so, you know, or something like that. And I go, God's looking at his people. He's loving these people. This is a Sermon on the Mount. It's meant to have you be challenged by the law says, don't worry. The truth of God is, law is, or worry is sin. That's the truth. But God says, it isn't the condition I've called you to live in. It isn't the circumstances I wanted you to live under. You're not going to change things. If you need to do something today, do it. Rule of thumb, do the next right thing. Do it. But it isn't going to help to worry about it tomorrow or the next day. And so God gets done with this section in Jesus Christ, and he points at him, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So now I get done, and I realize the sermon isn't just let's curse Bruce because he's a worrier, or let's push Bruce around because he worries and then pretends not to worry and then worries that he's pretending not to worry and he should be more mature by now and he gets in this guilt spin and it can just be horrible. The question is, Lord, help me to seek your kingdom first and foremost. Turn my eyes toward you when I discipline my children, when I talk to my husband or wife, when I walk out of church. What are the eyes of God looking at you and the kingdom of God saying to you? You know, some people will get out of church, not ever be touched, encouraged, or hugged, either by a touch or a word or a thought or a kindness. They will come here and leave just as untouched, impacted that way as they walked in. And partly it's because so many times I come in and out of church focused on me. And I'm worried about what you're seeing and whether I'm doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing. Is it okay? Because I'm not doing it because of God. I'm doing it because you may notice that I'm not like me. You may notice and say, there's something wrong with that guy or what's going on in his world today. Rather than being real, eyes on Christ, being the person God's called me to be, I'm focused on people. So what does it say? Don't find value in the mammon, the stuff of the world. Whether it's money or prestige or glory or honor, whatever you do, when you focus on the wrong thing, the whole countenance of who you are as a person shifts. And what you value or don't value shifts. And so the warning that we're getting, the blessing that we're getting, is seek first the kingdom of God. When we do that, worry becomes something that we respond to, but we won't spin in that stupid circle of keep worrying about the fact that you're worrying, keep trying harder and harder and harder not to worry, and then worry that you're not trying hard enough, and whatever your circle looks like, God's not calling you to that. He's calling you to live in the power of the Holy Spirit in the presence of his kingdom with your eyes on the cross, given and shed for you, paid for in full. Do you think you can ever wear anything so ugly that God won't love you? Do you think you can ever wear anything? If I came in, I don't think they'd fit, but if I came in my old bell bottoms and my pirate shirt, do you think I couldn't somehow survive that? You don't die from that stuff. And God goes, you're right. You die when you take your eyes off me. You die when you're not seeking the kingdom first, when you're seeking the mammon of the world. Set your eyes on the kingdom, and all these things will be added onto you. Pray with me. Lord, how capable we are of worrying, how much it absorbs our life and feelings and attitudes, Lord. I ask that you would just set our hearts free. I ask, Lord, that you would fill us with hope. And I pray, Lord, that you would just teach us your ways. Come and bless each of us and help us to surrender all things to you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Gary?